From verse 1 to 2, then I'll jump to Hebrews 13, verse 14. Hebrews chapter 12, from verse 1 to 2. The Bible says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. This is NIV. Okay. Fixing our eyes on Jesus. All right. King James Version. Thank you. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hebrews 13 and 14. Hebrews 13 verse 14. The Bible says, for here have we no continuing city, we seek one to come. Here have we no continuing city, we seek one to come. After an event like what we had last week, some of us want to live in the high of that moment. Some of us want to live there. Some of us want to just pack and just sit down there. You know, it's like what happened when Jesus took his disciples to the Mount of Transfiguration and Peter said, look, why don't we build monuments here? Why don't we build memorials here? But you see, life is a race. That's what we see in Hebrews chapter 12. Life is a race. And so this morning, I want to encourage you that keep moving. I want you to tell your neighbor, say, keep moving. Say, keep moving. So life is a race. Life is a race that we are running, and it's a long race. In fact, we are not the first people to start this race. Others have started this race. Others have run this race, and they have made it to the finish line. And the Bible said we now have company of those people. The company of those people is supposed to be sending a message to us. One of the messages is this: it is possible to finish. It is possible to run this race, and it is possible to finish. Another thing that they are telling us is this: you are not alone. You are not just the only one that will run this race. You are not just the only one that will go through that thing. Because you see, one of the things that the devil likes to do to many of us is he tries to make us to think that we are the things that is going on with us is so special, is so peculiar, and it has not happened to anybody else. But one of the ways you can silence the devil and make him impotent in your life is to commonize what he is doing. The devil likes attention. He wants, when he does something, you are like, brrr. Many of the times, commonizing what the devil is doing makes him run mad. I'm not saying ignoring what he's doing, but make it not a big deal. Because there are some other people, in the name of this commonizing, they ignore the fact that there is even a devil. They said, don't forget about it. It's just your mind. It's not true. Evil is real. The devil is real. The devil is out there. But the devil is not as powerful as he wants to be. You know, he is not as powerful even as some people make him to be. In fact, the power that he has derived is because some people have magnified him. They talk more about their problems. They talk more about their mountains. Some people wear their issues. Whenever you see them, you can tell about that issue. Every single moment, they are talking about the issue. Every single moment, they are facing it. It's more about the issue. They don't talk about their God. But you see, there is something about focus on anything. If you focus on it, it will become bigger. Anything you appreciate, anything you acknowledge overly too much, it becomes bigger. It becomes magnified. So when you focus on the problem, when you focus on the devil, then he seemingly becomes bigger. But when you focus on your God, when you look more at God, when you let God be big bigger than the devil. When you make and let the consciousness that the one that is inside of you is greater than the one outside there. Let the consciousness of the fact that your victory in Christ is already assured. You are not fighting for victory. You are fighting from victory. When you keep this at the center of yourself, you make the devil run mad. So, what is this cloud of witness telling us? This race, you are already a winner. Because you see, one of the things that gives me comfort is this. I know that it is very easy for what has been done before to be done again. You know, the Bible speaking in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8, the Bible says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. You see, because if you understand that if he did it before, he can do it again. If he raised the dead before, he can raise it again. If he helped some people to finish the race, he can help me to finish the race. Because you see, the devil is always making you think like it's not going to be possible. But every time you look at scripture and you read the example of men and women in the Bible and you see that they ran the race and they finished the race, it should tell you a message that the same God that did it for them, if he was good back then, he would be good right now. If he was powerful back then, he's still powerful right now. Don't let the devil deceive you to think that this Bible is a fairy tale. This Bible is the living word of God. What God did in this Bible, when we read of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when we read of Samson, when we read of Daniel, that same God has not reduced in his potency. 21st century did not reduce him. The presence of internet did not reduce. Can I even tell you, geography, location, where you are did not reduce him? Because some people think that God is more powerful in some nations than in other nations. But I've come to tell you, he's the God of the universe. If he can do it in Africa, he can do it in America. If he can do it in America, he will do it in Asia. I've come to introduce back to you that your God is powerful. And he has helped people before. If he has helped people before, he will help me. If he has saved people before, he will save me. Sometimes you may not even know the answer to the problem, but at least always have this answer at the back of your mind. God has helped people before. God has helped people before. It's a very good skill to develop. It's a very good mentality to have, because sooner than later you will face issues. Sooner than later there will be question mark even concerning the things that you have believed about God. But you can rest assured in the very fact that your God has helped other people before. So the cloud of witness is witnessing to us, letting us know that life is a race, letting us know that there is commonality about this life, and God has helped people before, and he can help me. So if God has helped them before, he will also help me. So if life is a race, if life is a long race, this scripture is saying to us, we should keep looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. I did a little running or athletics. I don't know what grade was that now. Elementary level. When we were faster. Amen. You know, I used to run. And one of the things that they taught us was this. Always look at the tape. And always try to stick out your neck as you get close to the tape, so that you can breast the tape with your neck. Because sometimes, just by sticking out that neck, you are able to, you know, win the race. Because sometimes you guys are running at a tie or something like that. So what that tells you and I is this. That life is a race. And in this race of life, we have to keep moving. We don't have to stop. The devil always wants us to camp somewhere. Pastor Theos, he was telling us of the fact that it was not Abraham that was the first person to want to go to Canaan's land. In Genesis 11, God had already told Terah, his father, to go to Canaan's land. In fact, in Genesis 12, the Bible says, and the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of your country. So it's not even the first time, even Abraham himself was hearing it. So there is a dimension that happens with men that wants us to just camp. There is something about life that just wants us to camp and be complacent. But this morning I've come to tell you, keep moving. I want you to tell your neighbor, say, keep moving. Let me share with you one of the dangers of stopping or resting, or saying, let us take a chill pill and let's while we exerting ourselves. One of the things that the devil is always doing is this: the devil is always hanging around after every victory. The devil is always hanging around after every victory. The devil knows that people play down their guards when they have done something, when they think they have achieved something, when they think, well, now I've graduated. The devil usually takes advantage of those seasons. Look at the scripture. 1 Samuel chapter 18. 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 7 to 8. 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 7 to 8. The Bible says, and the women answered one another as they played, and said, Saul has slain his 1,000 and David his 10,000. Verse 8. And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom? This was supposed to be the happiest day of David's life. Remember that before this, 1 Samuel 18, 1 Samuel 16, David had been anointed king. There has been prophecy just like many of us. And now, in the eyes of David, prophecy was being fulfilled. But the Bible said, as soon as Goliath came down, some people were giving accolades to David, and that displeased Saul. And that was where the battle line was drawn. It was at the point of victory that another battle began. So what am I trying to tell you? Whenever there is an achievement, whenever we advance forward, whenever we move in a particular direction, and there is some level of achievement, the devil is close by. He wants to take advantage of that season. So in order for us not to be taken advantage by him, this scripture in Hebrews chapter 12 is telling us something. Just keep moving. Keep moving. Because the Bible said that was how Jesus was able to go through the cross. The reason Jesus did not fall, the reason Jesus did not fail like the first Adam, was that Jesus kept looking at the glory that was set ahead of him. It's as if Jesus ran his own race, like that example that they gave us when we were in athletics, that you needed to stick out your neck and just look at the tape. Don't look at your side, because when you are running that race, if you are looking at your side and wondering that, who have I beaten? Who is in front of me? Who is that? Most any distraction like this will slow you down. So the more you keep moving forward, you have to look at the goal. You have to look ahead. You cannot look to the side. You cannot look backward. The only way you look is forward. I want you to look at your neighbor. Say, look forward. Say to them loud and clear. Say, look forward. So the dangers of resting is that the devil is usually closer. The devil will seemingly take advantage of that. Many other times, why many times it feels like the devil showed up and the devil is having some upper hand is sometimes because many of us, he takes advantage of seasons in our life. And most of the time, there are seasons of achievement. There are seasons of glory. There are seasons of when something has happened and we are in a let me relax kind of mood. But you see, on this side of the divide, we just have to keep moving. We have to keep our eye on the ball. We never arrive in this side of the divide. Never ever get to that place where you think, wow, look what we have done. Look what has happened. I have come to tell you this morning that it does not matter where you are in life. If you are not dead, if you can hear me, there is a better. Look at your neighbor, say, there is a better. So I don't care where you are now. God always has better for us. So we must make sure we don't stop. Let me give you some reason why some people have become complacent. Number one, they have become complacent because they have forgotten or they don't know God's purpose for them. Many people can become complacent at the present level, complacent about their relationship with God, complacent about their relationship in life, complacent about their careers. And the reason is because they are forgotten or they are ignorant of their purpose in God. Because you see, the purpose of God for you and I, Jeremiah 29:11 says, God has a plan, God has a purpose, is to give you a good future. Is to give you a good future, an expected end. Answer, the expected end is better than what you have now. The expected end is something that needs to get better and better. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 4 verse 18, it says the path of the righteous is like a shining light that shines brighter and brighter unto a perfect day. So when we forget this fact, sometimes we want to coast. Sometimes we want to relax. I have come to remind you this morning, especially after the weekend that we just finished, let's not forget our purpose in God. God has a beautiful future for you. God has a bright future for you. God has something bigger than what you have experienced now. Everything you have experienced now is not the fullness of your potential. You see, the word potential is a very interesting word, because potential, every time you look at that word, you have not achieved all that there is. Potential means there is more to be achieved than have been achieved. Potential means that there is something within this seed that can provide this forest. There is something with this action that can bring bigger rewards. So every time you are still alive, you need to understand that you have potential, that there is something inside of me that has not found expression yet. I don't know it yet. I've not met it yet, but I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to hang my boot. I'm not going to say, well, I've seen some mighty things. No. I will always know that what I saw yesterday is just a stepping stone to what God can do today, because God is always bigger today, so to say, than he was yesterday. So why is it that some people want to stay at their current level? They are forgotten, or they don't even know what the purpose of God for their life is. And if you, for example, if you don't know, you just ask him. That's why anybody who wants to succeed in this race of life, must their knees must be close to the ground. Not literally, not that every time you have to kneel down to pray, you can stand up to pray, but I'm talking of the act of prayer. Because Jeremiah chapter 33 verse 3 says, it says, call unto me and I will answer you. I will show you great and mighty. And he said it as if every time you call unto me, I will show you great and mighty things. So if you saw great and mighty things yesterday, you can ask him again today. I bet you his answer will be, he will show you great and mighty things. Mightier than what you saw yesterday. Because in God, it gets better. So why is it that people coast? Why is it that they are complacent? It's because they've forgotten, or they don't realize God's purpose for them. And a simple way to know it is to ask him. Is to ask him. Why is it that people will focus or are on the same level or maintaining? And let me tell you this. In life, there is no vacuum. We don't maintain levels. When you start maintaining level, the truth is that you are at the peak. You are going down. You are either going up or you are going down. So when you think you have maintained the level, you have already started the decline. I mean, our educational system shows us that, I mean, maybe not very apparent in the American educational system, but I mean, where I grew up, if you stay in a particular class, because people repeat classes, I don't know, do people repeat classes here? They repeat classes? You can take a class again. No, not college credit. But in elementary school, people okay. So if you remain at the same class, did you remain at the same class when your neighbors or your friends went to another class? Did you remain at the same class? No, you went backwards, because they are now in fifth grade. You were in fourth grade last year and you are still in fourth grade this year. So maintenance is actually a deception. You don't maintain, you decline. So if you think you are coasting, you are really not coasting. You are really not maintaining the status quo. You are already going back, because it is either upward or downward. There is no, I'm just maintaining. No. So why is it that people get complacent? They don't understand that there is no maintenance. You don't maintain nothing. You either go up. And the path of the righteous is like a shining light. It's supposed to get better and better every other day. Why is it that people are complacent about their current level? It's because they focus on the past. The past is very, very tempting. Whether it's a good past or a bad past, they focus on the past. They are looking backward. Anybody that wants to be forward must not have anything to do with backward. You can't look back. You can't talk back. You can't dwell on the past. You have to leave the past where it is. The best place to leave the past is in the past. The best place to leave the past is in the past. Good past, leave it in the past. Bad past, leave it in the past. Something happened that didn't work out the way you wanted it to happen. It has happened. Leave it there. Keep moving. It was Pastor Theosie that was saying it in the event they had yesterday. And by the way, how many of you were blessed by that event? Can you celebrate God for the ministry of your marriage journey? Come on, let's make it louder. Amen to Jesus. If you didn't know that there was an event, you need to see him so that he will lay hands on you so that God will forgive you. I'm just kidding. But you need to find it on YouTube and listen to the event. And he was saying something that if God were to show the mistakes that many of us have made, you'll be shocked. But how are we where we are today? We've left that mistake behind. We left the past behind. The Bible is a story of God redeeming the past. The Bible is a story of God giving another chance. Some people have said God is the God of second chance. No, sir. God is the God of another chance. He can give you another chance. I mean, the one, some of the best scriptures that have changed my life is when I see instead of. when Cain went to do the dastardly heart and killed his brother Abel, the Bible said, and God gave Adam and Eve another child instead of Abel. I thank God for instead of, because there are sometimes I lost the job, but there is a God of instead of. There are sometimes I lost the relationship, but there is a God of instead of. I'm not going to focus on that one that I lost. What about the many that is out there? There are so many people focusing on what they lost, but they have missed on what they can get. I have come to tell you this morning, don't be complacent because of that one that went. You serve a God of instead of. He can give you another instead of. It's not, it's the old story of redemption, not instead of. Jesus became another Adam instead of the first Adam. The first Adam messed up, but God didn't give up and say, well, this old creation project has messed me up. But God said, instead of this Adam, I will send the second Adam. This second Adam will undo or will redo what the first Adam did. And the second Adam came, and the devil again, like he came to the first Adam in the garden, he came to the second Adam in another garden, Garden of Gethsemane. And the Bible said Jesus was troubled, but thanks be to God, Jesus said, not my will but your will be done. There is a purpose, there is a plan, there is something that God has, and I'm going to lock on to that purpose. And if I hold on to that purpose, I will leave the past behind. What the first Adam did will not undo or will not make what the second Adam was about to do to invalidate it. And so Jesus came as a replacement of the first Adam. That's why Romans chapter 5 verse 17 says, if sin came through one man, how much more? How much more will righteousness come by the obedience of one? Why? God is a God of instead of. Don't focus on the past. Don't focus on the past. Even the good past. Never be one of those people that say, oh, we will celebrate God for the good old days. I thank God for the good old days, but I know God has better new days. God is a God of better. Every new day, the Bible says his mercies are new every morning. I'm not going to be waiting and wailing over what happened yesterday. There is another mercy this morning. I will embrace it. That's why when you wake up in the morning, you can tell yourself, this is the day that the Lord has made. This is the day that the Lord has made. Yes, the day may be
dark. Yesterday may be a Friday, but thank God, Friday is not the only day in the story of resurrection. Friday may come, but Sunday is always going to eclipse Friday. And Friday may be in the grave, but Sunday is out of the tomb. Because there is a God that always brings Sunday to overshadow Friday. I speak over you. Every Friday that has strengthened you, every Friday that has put you under pressure, every Friday that has lingered way too long, let it hear the voice of resurrection this morning. Friday be over. Sunday appear. Friday be over. Sunday appear. In the name of Jesus.
Bible said, we are in a race and we need to keep looking forward. We cannot be mindful of the past. The reason the first generation that came out of Egypt could not enter Canaan's land is because they were looking to where they were coming from. Some of us are looking to where we are coming from. Some of us are looking to what we left behind. And we are over celebrating it. We are even condemning it in some sense and saying, well, it is because of that. But yes, that happened. All of that old abuse happened. All of that neglect happened. All of that rejection happened. But today also has happened. Today has happened. Today has happened. You need to let the past go. This morning, to keep moving forward, you have to let go of the past. You cannot keep driving forward by looking at the rearview mirror. You are going to get into a crash. So many people in destiny are looking at the rearview mirror. The rearview mirror of 5 years ago. The rearview mirror of 10 years ago. The decisions that they didn't take. The things that... Yes! Can I tell you the truth? Even the mistake is part of the plan. It's like that GPS. It can recalculate. It can recalibrate. Even if you miss the turn, if you had the detour, it knows how to reroute you and put you on course. So that's why you cannot look at yesterday way too long. God has other options. God has other ways. God has other routes. There are many ways to get there. There are many ways to get there. That's why Jesus said, you know what? I am the way. You didn't get that. It means that if you have me, you will always get there. I am the way. He even said, I am the door. Meaning that there is nothing that can be close to you. Because yesterday happened does not close it. If you have me, I am the way. If you have me, I am the door. So you have access. You might have gone somewhere yesterday, they denied you. But sir, if you have access called the door, if you have access called the way, how can road be close to you? How can you reach an end? No, he knows how to turn the end to a bend. And I prophesy over somebody this morning that bend, that end turns into a bend in the name of Jesus. If you have read the scriptures, most of the most beautiful stories came from very ugly, ugly background. Have you not read the story of Ruth and Boaz? Does that not look lovely? One of the books Pastor Andrew is going to launch is the story of Rahab. Rahab. This morning I was thinking about Rahab and I was like, what in the world? Which kind of God can take a Rahab? A Rahab is somebody supposed to be in a rehab. But God, if he takes Rahab, he will do something with Rahab that no rehabilitation can do. He will turn around Rahab and use Rahab to birth purpose and birth promise. Because through Rahab, God brought about Jesus. Through Ruth, God brought about Jesus. Why and how does he do it? I don't know how he does it. But I know he always does it. Especially if you give him the past. Especially if you don't hold on to the past. Because if you hold on to that past, it is my past. It is my past. I am true to my past. Why are you true to your past? It's a dangerous thing to be. Whether good or bad, leave the past behind. Let the past go. Paul has an advice for you in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. He says, pull it up, please. Philippians 3:10. Is it 12 now? I do not consider myself to have apprehended, but I keep pressing toward the call of the high call. Oh my God. It's Philippians 3. Let me pull it up here. Oh my God. Okay. Philippians 3:13. Not 10. He said, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. How was Paul so successful? Paul was a latecomer. He came later. He didn't even come when Jesus was alive. I know some people say, I wish I was alive when Moses parted the Red Sea. No, you don't wish that. You have a better covenant. There is something better for you. Paul did not see Jesus in person, but he did more than all the people that see Jesus in person combined. The New Testament is 2/3 written by Paul. And he gave us a secret here. I don't consider that I have done anything. Every time I do something, I give glory to God and I move on. Even when mistakes happen, I take lessons from it and I move on. I don't dwell on the past. I keep moving forward because I don't count myself to have apprehended. I don't have an arrival mentality. There are too many people, the reason why they are not getting any extra from God is they have an arrival mentality. You know, you can have an arrival mentality even when you come into a church service. You're already blocked. You feel like you know everything. You feel like what the man of God is about to tell you, you already know it. If you have that attitude, you will not get. The attitude to get is this: I don't know enough. I can learn more. It can get better. There is a better in tomorrow. There is a better in tomorrow. So, ladies and gentlemen, why many people are complacent is because of the past. Some of the reason why you are comfortable or you are still in that same spot and stagnant there is you are looking at the past. You are still kind of tied back to that relationship. You are still blaming your father. You are still blaming your uncle. You are still blaming your boss. When you keep playing that blame game, it's going to be a cog in your motion. It's going to be a brake on your motion. It's going to stop you. And so this morning, let it go. Let go of the past. Release the past. Let it remain in where it's supposed to be, in the very past. Why is it that some people are complacent at their current level? It is also because they compare themselves with themselves. Sometimes we play a lot of comparison games. In fact, if there's anything that social media has done, it has heightened that comparison. You are looking at that person's social media and then you see that they have a good life, and the life you now have now look bad because of their own life. Or sometimes you think you have a good life because you think, well, I'm doing better than them. But who told you that anybody is your yardstick? Who told you that what God is looking for is that you are better than somebody else? No, sir. You don't have a competition in them. You don't compete with anybody. In Christ, we are already complete. So there is no need for competition. We only complement one another. So when they are doing good, praise God for them. When you are even seemingly doing better than them, praise God for them still. But ladies and gentlemen, let nobody's success or failure be the reason why you slow down, be the reason why you wait, be the reason why you are complacent. I want you to understand that God is the God of all, but is your God. He has a unique, definite, special assignment for you. So don't look at what they are doing. Can't look at their results to derive that you have made any progress or don't make any progress. The Bible speaking in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12, it says, for we dare not make ourselves one of the number. There are too many people in this class, this comparison class. Let's not join them. You see, because those who compare themselves and compare themselves with themselves are not wise. I will add to it this morning that those who compare themselves with themselves, they slow themselves down. They will be complacent. They will be on the same spot. They will slow their speed down. And so this morning, you need to know that you should not compare yourself with yourself. You need to understand that God is a God of motion. He's a God of advancement. And I need to keep moving. Now let me share this as I close this morning. How do I keep moving? How should I keep moving? Jesus gave a very, very good charge in Luke chapter 9 on how to keep moving. If you want to keep moving, you have to take this advice from Jesus from Luke chapter 9 and verse 23. Luke chapter 9 and verse 23. Then Jesus said, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, he said, let him deny himself and let him take up his cross daily. The word there is daily. Jesus said, how do you keep moving? You have to make daily decision for advancement. You have to have a daily agenda that moves you forward. Anything I see you doing every day will tell me what will eventually happen to you. Life happens daily. Growth happens daily. Movement happens daily. If you are stagnated, you are stagnated daily. So I will move better today than I moved last year. Yesterday, I will keep doing it daily. That's why one of the things that Jesus told us to pray in the model prayer in Matthew chapter 6 was that give us our daily bread. Why did he say give us our daily bread? He wants you to understand the power of one day. Do you understand that in creation, why God was creating things daily was to get it into our head that if we can master a day, if we can program a day, if we can do something with a day, we will enter into the all of creation with God. Because even God, the creator of the ends of the earth, he broke down creation into daily. So if you want to keep moving, you have to move daily. You have to do something daily that moves you towards the goal. You have to move something daily that moves you towards the goal. One of the deceptions the devil is always making us to have is this: because the journey is far, because the project is big, he makes you to focus on the size, not knowing that one day at a time I will move closer, not knowing that one day at a time I will advance near it. The more you keep moving every day toward that goal, you will be closer to that goal the next tomorrow than you are today. But if you keep analyzing and wondering how big a task is this that I'm going to read my Bible throughout this year, you keep analyzing and you will not take action. But when you start doing something daily, even if it is 2 chapters daily, you are 2 chapters ahead of where you started. If you add 2 chapters to it tomorrow, you are 4 chapters ahead of where you began. And if you don't stop, if you are doing it daily, before you know, something mighty will happen. Just like the creation of God, by the time God saw on the 6th day after man, the Bible said God looked at what he had created and it was very good. Do you know the route to very good? It is daily. If you want very good, because God was seeing good every day. Every day it was good. 1st day it was good. 2nd day was good. But by the 6th day, when he created man and he added the summation of every day that he has been creating, it became very good. Are you looking for very good? Let me give you a protocol. Let me give you a process. It is process of daily. Make a decision that every day I will get better. Every day I will invest something on my career. Every day I will invest something in my spiritual life. Every day. Every day. How did the church of Jesus Christ, with a small number, turn their world upside down? The Bible talked about the fact that daily, daily, they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, breaking bread from house to house, and the Lord adding to them. God always adds to them when they do it daily. When you focus on God daily, you see that daily, it advances you. That daily, it moves you forward. I mean, many people are missing major advantage when they live daily alone. Let me read this scripture to you. This scripture has blessed me so much. I have prayed it into my life, and I think you should pray the scripture also into your life. It's 1 Chronicles, I believe. 1 Chronicles chapter 12. First Chronicles chapter 12. And if you read verse 22, the Bible says, for at that time, they came to David day by day. They came to David every day to help him until it was a great army. How did David get a great army? He kept moving. He kept adding one army day after day. How can we win America one day at a time, one soul at a time? If you understand the power of one, the power of one day, the power of one call, the power of one action, but putting it on a daily basis, it changes things. Somebody once said, I can change your life if I change what you do daily. I can change your life if I change what you do daily. If I add prayer to your day daily. If I add reading of the word to your day daily. If I remove some toxic thing from your life daily. I remove some friend from your life daily. I'm changing your life already. Everything that affects your day today is affecting your life. Many people, you are waiting for that day. It's not coming. That day is today. Today is that day. Today is that day. Everything that I want to be tomorrow, I am contributing or subtracting from it today. And so if we are going to move forward, friends, we have to do it daily. That was the advice of Jesus to this man. He said, look, pick up your cross and follow me daily. Don't even want to follow me yearly. Follow me daily. If I focus on the day, I will get the month. I think it was somebody that asked, was it Daddy Gio? I think in my recollection, how do you fast for so long? He said, I just pray for help for one day. God help me to be able to fast today. And he's going to 63 days. He's not looking at 63 days. He's focused on here on today. He's asking God to help him overcome today. Some of you are looking at the big things. It's okay. Yes, we said you should look forward. But that forward is somehow you have to confine it into today. Focus on today. Live today well. When you do today well, tomorrow will take care of yourself. But it was John Maxwell that wrote one book, Today Matters. I have come to tell you this morning, young girl, today matters. Don't mind the people that tell you you are young and because you are young, you can do anything. Let me tell you, our life is a summation. Yesterday, every day of our life adds up into our life. So if I waste today, it will add up into some level of waste tomorrow. There are some things that some people are struggling with today. This is an harvest of a seed they sowed yesterday. So look at today. Don't waste your today. If you have time today, then invest it. Use that time in prayer. Use that time to serve. And sometimes I'm flabbergasted, marooned, and all over the place when I see people that have time and the only thing they use it is Netflix and binge. No investment. Oh, I don't know what to do. Then help somebody else. Sow into somebody. Be a blessing to somebody. Convert it into a blessing into somebody. Come. Sometimes we need help in church. Come and help us. If we don't have help, we don't tell you we need help. Ask us where we need help and we will create where we need help for you. Amen. Because it is happening daily, my friend. Look at your neighbor. Say, life is happening daily. What are you doing with your today? So keep moving. Move daily. Let me add this to it. Move with accountability. Every Ruth needs a Naomi. Every Esther needs a Mordecai. I want to ask you a question. Who is your Mordecai? You have to move daily. You have to move with accountability. There has to be somebody that tells you don't do it yet. There has to be somebody that says you don't do it like that. There has to be somebody that can tell you you have not done it. Have you done what you say you were going to do? You have to move with accountability. There is something about when other people are watching over you. It helps you. Have you found any athlete that doesn't have a coach? Some of the times the coach are not even playing. Some of the time the coach are not fit like the athlete. But somehow, by reason of some level of technicality, the coach can tell the athlete what the athlete can do. and the coach can watch the athlete and make sure that when the athlete is feeling pain, he knows that from pain there will be gain. So when you have a Mordecai in your life, when you have a Naomi in your life that can speak to you, that can instruct you, it's very, very helpful. Ladies and gentlemen, this life of I will only ask Google, I will only go and do my research myself, you are starting from the beginning. Leverage on the experience of other people that have gone ahead of you. You are in a church like this. You just do life. I don't know everything, but I can help. And I've been able to. I mean, I'm not a lawyer, but I sometimes because we've been around town for a little bit, we may be able to say something about that legal matter. Yes, I'm not a marriage counselor, but I am married. I've been in a house. I may be able to say something. Don't die in silence. Every Esther needs a Mordecai. You may be an Esther in the palace, but it is Mordecai that will preserve you. If not for Mordecai, Esther will have been complacent. She would have said there. It was Mordecai, I think it's Esther chapter 4. The Bible said, Mordecai said, do you know that you were in the kingdom for such a time as this? Every Esther needs a Mordecai. Somebody that can tell you can do it. Somebody that can tell you can jump. Somebody that will not be too sympathetic with you and say, I understand. I know it is hard. Keep crying. Move with accountability. Find somebody. Find a coach. Find a mentor. And don't let your mentor be mentor by name. Let them be able to mention things into your life. Any mentor that is not mentioning things into your life is not a mentor. Because people now, you say, it's my mentor. You don't know him. He does not know you. He hasn't told you anything. I read this book. Yes, it's a kind of mentoring you. But you need the one that you don't only read his book, that he is also reading your own book, your book, life book. He can see you. There's proximity. There's contact. This guy wants the best out of you. He may not be playing exactly what you are playing in, but because of life experiences, he can help you. Everybody needs every Esther needs a Mordecai. And lastly, this morning, you keep moving daily, you keep moving with accountability, then you move in community, you move with others. You need mentors, but you need peers. You know, in that scripture that we read, the Bible said we have a cloud of witnesses. It feels like we need a cloud of witnesses to run. We need an audience. And not just audience, participants that are running with us. There is energy that you get from other people. That's why I tell people that watch services online, you need to get into a community, physical in nature, where you can touch people, where you can have fellowship. The Bible speaking in Hebrews chapter 10, 25, it says, let us not forsake the assembling together of the brethren. There is power in community. There is power in company. In Acts chapter 4, the Bible said they beat the apostles. And the Bible said they came to their own company. We need that kind of company. The company of people that will say, no, we are not going to give in. Do you know that in life, sometimes we are tired? Sometimes we are weak, but thank God for company. Thank God for company. Some of us are married. We have a good company with our spouse, and that spouse will be our company. Leverage it, because some husband, they want to just be running solo. You will be tired. This race was never meant to be run solo. If you run solo, you will die solo. Isolation is the precursor to destruction. If the devil wants to destroy you, he will isolate you. All that one that you are just doing is just me. I just come to church. Only me. Only you will receive only you issues. You need other people to spread out the things with. I have found out that there are people that God has placed in my life. Just talking about the matter, it helps. Don't do life alone. Don't walk alone. You need to walk in groups. You need to walk with other people. You know, most of the programs, resolutions, New Year resolutions that people give, research has found out that many people are likely to succeed if other people are doing the same thing with them. In a house, if you want to go on a weight program, if everybody in the house, especially the dominant people in the house, they join you in that program, you will succeed. But if they don't join you, they will tempt you to join them. Because it's always happening that we default towards the bad side. If you are rolling with anything bad, you will default to it. So if you want anything to be good, roll with the good side of things, and things will become better. I'm telling you this morning, God is calling us to keep moving. It doesn't matter what we have experienced. We can have experienced loud and clear. Wow, what a service. What a conference. But what are you doing with it? You have to move with it now. You have to take everything that you got from that conference and you have to move with it. Some way to move with it is that you have to have something you want to do about it daily. Daily. If you are not doing something about it daily, you will not do anything about it. Some way to move with that thing is that you have to tell somebody about it. Some of you need to tell your spouse about your plans. Some of you need to tell your pastor, hold me on this. Some of you need to do that. And you need to now find friends that are walking in the same lane, that are going into the same direction, and walk with them. Take company with people. Have company together. Never walk alone. It's always good to walk in company. The devil cannot easily destroy somebody in a company. He usually will isolate. Even in the case of Adam and Eve, the reason why the fall came was isolation. The devil never was able to talk to Adam and Eve together, because when one person is stupid, somebody will be wise. You know, some of these places where they sell timeshare something to you, you know, one of the ways to be delivered from those things is to go with somebody. Because when somebody is being tempted, another person says, no, don't fall. I remember I went somewhere like that the other day with my wife. And I told my wife, we're not going to buy. But midway, I told my wife, we need to buy. My wife said, no, let's go and think about it. Because I was almost convincing her that, yes, we need to buy. But thanks be to God, if one falls, the other will carry him off. Because I was already falling for them. And they sold it to me. It was so beautiful. I say it's investment. It's a lie. It's no investment. I was going to throw my money into the drain. And she said, let's go and think about it. When we left that place, the spell left my eye. I'm praying for somebody that the spell will leave your eyes. You will find your company. You will roll with the right people in the name of Jesus. Can we stand up this morning as we pray together? God is asking us to keep moving. God is telling us that the best is yet to come. We should not settle for less. There is more in God.